Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the podcast, I am joined by Hayden Winks, a newly full-time employee of RotoWorld.com. He is their primary NFL draft and college football prospect writer over there. I had him on the podcast to do, you know, just a little preview of the 2019 college football season. I assume that a lot of you guys, like me, probably have been paying more attention to the NFL than college football, so I brought Hayden on to talk about who he expects to make the college football playoff. We made some over-under bets, some Heisman bets. We talked about some of the guys who were going to be relevant for the NFL draft in 2020, as well as talking about some guys who are going to be awesome college fantasy football studs. I think this is a pretty informative, pretty entertaining show here with Hayden. I think that those of you who are regular listeners to the show are going to enjoy it. Of course, if you like the show, you can always leave a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's super helpful. You can also subscribe to the show on Patreon, patreon.com/takecast for $5 a month. You get bonus episodes of the show, and you are also able to support the, just the continuation of the show. Also, if you are listening to this, I would like to tell you that we are presented by RotoExperts.com. You can get customizable cheat sheets, projections, rankings, and all of the best premium content that exists for fantasy football on RotoExperts.com. It is headed up by yours truly, and the math is done by Drew Dinkmeyer and Michael Leone of DailyRoto.com. You can get 10% off of the $39.99 package using the promo code MATTEK, M-A-T-T-E-K, on RotoExperts.com. And now let's go ahead and get into the show. All right, everyone, welcoming back in Hayden Winks to the podcast. We've had him on before to talk about some NFL analytics, but actually, Hayden, you spend far more time working on college football than you do NFL these days.
Yeah, so the last year I was somewhat 50-50, but definitely more on the college football side. That's going to start changing now. I'm now doing NFL work for RotoWorld, so it's going to go back and forth, but this last 4 or 5 months, I've been getting ready for the college football season.
So we caught you at the right time. So today's podcast is going to be sort of a cumulative preview of the 2019 college football season. We're going to give you some over-unders. We're going to talk about the college football playoff. Just really, if you're coming into the season and you're like, all right, I'm going to watch a little bit of college football this year, I would like some context to what I'm about to watch, that is what this podcast is going to be for. So let's just get it out of here right away. Who are your picks to make the college football playoff?
Yeah, so there's two locks, Clemson and Alabama, clearly the two best teams in the country. I think Everyone knows that, so we don't have to elaborate on that. It gets trickier with three and four. So I think Oklahoma, Ohio State, Michigan are the next three, and then you can get a little freaky with it. Go Notre Dame is also in the mix, maybe one of the Pac-12 schools. I don't think Texas is going to be in it, but they're a trendy bet. But I would go with Oklahoma and Georgia.
So that's interesting that you would say Oklahoma, because I would guess that that's like a popular media pick, right? Like, just because no one's really going to criticize that. But you know, they do not have, as of right now, an answer at starting quarterback. They have a competition where Jalen Hurts transferred from Alabama to Oklahoma. But, already Lincoln Riley's come out and said, he's still got to earn the job. But are you expecting that that Hurts is going to start from week one?
Yeah, Hurts is going to start, and I think he's going to be really good. I think Lincoln Riley wouldn't have gone and recruited him if he didn't have a plan with him. I think towards the end of his career at Alabama, he was starting to show some signs of improvement as a passer. And I think he has all of the talent in the world around him. CeeDee Lamb, the receiver, is going to be a first-round pick. Grant Calcaterra is a day two prospect at tight end. They have two draftable running backs. Offensive line is good. And, yeah, they're just in a good spot. The Big 12 is maybe a little bit better than it was last year, but even if Oklahoma regresses and they're 80% of what they were with Baker or Kyler, they're still the team to beat.
I mean, 80% of that offense is still really good. The issue with all Big 12 teams is that this did not used to be the case. In like the 80s and 90s, if you were like an elite defensive recruit, you wanted to go to a Big 12 school. Now, if you're an elite defensive recruit, you want to go to a Big 10 school.
Yeah, big time. And
or the SEC, I guess, if you're a lineman. Yeah.
Definitely, but I think one of the things that's kind of going overlooked is everyone knows that Oklahoma's offense is going to regress, but that defense could also regress the other way. That they were terrible, and
they were so bad,
really, really like historically bad. And most likely, they're going to get better. They have a really strong linebacker, some other pieces. Like they still recruit top defensive talents, just kind of putting it all together. So I think we're going to see the offense take a step back, which is like obvious. Kyler Murray's season last year was incredible, but the defense should get a little bit better. They'll still be bad. But yeah.
I mean, so last year on defense, they allowed 6.1 yards per play, 453 yards per game. And they allowed 74 plays against per game, which is like, all of that is just like that defense just getting absolutely steamrolled, and then the offense was, you know, like semi able to keep them in games, but it was just unreal. Like it was so bad. So as far as Alabama goes, you know, what are we expecting out of Tua this year? So Jerry Jeudy is like the first round wide receiver name to watch. What about on the defensive side of the ball for them?
Yeah, so they have Dylan Moses, Raekwon Davis. They have a bunch of talent. They lose talent every year. They just replace them. There's 5 stars and 4 stars running around. We don't even know their names because they haven't even played it down yet. Never worried about that. Their schedule is a little bit easier this time around. Tua is going to go crazy again. I think we'll get into Heisman odds in a bit, but he's got a really good shot there. I think he's the best quarterback in the country.
Do you think that on the market that I'm looking at right now, Trevor Lawrence and Tua have the exact same odds for the Heisman? I would think Tua would seem a little bit better though, because he runs a little bit, right?
Yeah. So I think it opened at, they're both at like plus 250. I'm seeing it now. Lawrence is plus 200 with Tua at plus 330. And I think Tua is the call there at plus 330. I think he's got the narratives. He barely lost it last year. It's kind of his last chance to win it, because he'll be going to the draft. His numbers are going to be off the charts, and Alabama is going to be obviously really good. The only concern is I think Alabama is a little higher chance of losing a game before the Heisman starts than Clemson.
Well, yeah, they play in the SEC. So.
Right. So I think that's the only concern, but I think Tua at plus 330 is probably the best bet on the board.
So is this the first year? Because like I'll be honest, you know, I follow Oklahoma college football, or like Big 12 college football, not really so much the whole thing. So is this the first year that Clemson is considered the consensus favorite over Alabama, or has that been the case the last few years?
No, I think this would probably be the first year. I think it's been established that they're the two best teams in the country, and there's a little bit of a gap for the last couple of years. But last year there was quarterback questions, which is hilarious now looking back at it.
For Clemson?
Yeah, for Clemson. So I think this is the first year where Clemson has the benefit of the doubt. But they're losing so many – sorry. They're losing a lot of pieces on the defensive line. So they could be vulnerable against Alabama, but they're sitting pretty against the rest of the ACC.
Yeah, so that's sort of the top end of the board, which is like, you know, whatever. I think actually like who wins the college football playoff at this point is like not even really that interesting of a question. We pretty much assume it's going to be those two teams every year. So the first thing to kind of branch into our Heisman conversation is I just want to talk about who you think like the good draft eligible quarterbacks are going to be. So last year, Justin Herbert decided that he was going to return to school as opposed to heading to the New York Giants. Jake Fromm from Georgia. I think Jalen Hurts probably will stay again another year, because like Hurts doesn't seem like an NFL, like he's not going to be a first round draft pick quarterback, right?
No, I did a draft stock series on Roto World where I projected every who I thought was going to be drafted at running back, quarterback, receiver, and tight end.
Yeah.
So go read that. I think I had Jalen Hurts as a round 3 pick. I think he's going to he's athletic enough. I mean, we just watched Trace McSorley get drafted. Jalen Hurts is better than Trace McSorley is. I think that's a passer.
Yeah.
So I think there's a good chance that he ends up getting drafted.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on Jake Fromm? Because I basically heard all sorts of different stuff from him. People are like sort of like Daniel Jones, actually, where people are just like, oh no, he's a first round pick. Oh no, this dude's undraftable. Like I don't know if anyone can really make their mind up about him.
Yeah, I think his ceiling is a little bit capped just based off of arm talent, but he's just your classic, knows what he's doing, looks the part. I have him as like a late day one projection. I think he can end up climbing a little bit with a big season. But there's also some rumors that he might even stay, pulling a Justin Herbert from last year, which would kind of be wild. But I mean, Herbert set the precedent last year.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess I would get it if like some like truly awful organization is in the position to take him. But Jake Fromm, also on the QB1 web series that you can find on Netflix, I think he's the only one from that series that actually like became a prospect. I think the other one was Jake Browning, who was an undrafted free agent, I think, in the draft this last year. So in terms of Heisman odds, I like Hurts at 10-1 a lot. It just feels like the last 2 years, Oklahoma quarterback by like week four of the NCAA season was like a lock. I don't know why that would be different unless Hurts is not good.
Yeah, I think Hurts is in the discussion. So let me go over some stats real quick. So
yeah, let's do it.
Since 2000, 19 of 19 Heismans were on a Power 5 team. 17 of 19 were on a preseason AP top 25 team. 13 of the 19 were an AP top 7 team. I think that's going to end up being Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, LSU, Michigan. So Hurts is checking the boxes. 17 of 19 played on a team that won at least 10 games. Oklahoma's in range there. 12 of 19 played on a team that's going to score 41 points per game. Hurts is going to be looking pretty good there. 16 of 19 were quarterbacks. 7 of the last 10 were dual threat quarterbacks. And then the three of the nine were running backs, and they were all on AP top 5 teams. So it's pretty narrow. I think if you're looking at NFL MVP odds and stuff, you can get a couple more quarterbacks in there that have a chance. But with college football, we kind of already know who's going to be good and who's not. So it kind of narrows your Heisman Trophy pool. And definitely Jalen Hurts belongs in the discussion.
Yeah, and it just like I guess to me it seems like we have reached a point in college football sort of similar to the NFL actually where like I don't know if we'll ever see a non-quarterback win the MVP again, and I don't know if we'll ever see a non-quarterback win the Heisman Trophy again. Like it just seems like that is the way that the things are now.
Yeah, I think the general fan realizes how important the quarterback position is compared to running back, so I think it's going to be really, really hard to do it. So when I wrote my Heisman piece, also on Road to World Again, I had Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jake Fromm as my top three choices. With Fromm, my favorite pick, he's at plus 2,000. He's going to need to really get his production up. So that's his biggest concern. But I know George is going to be good. He's going to be checking a lot of those boxes with wins. So I would be looking there. Another person, if you're trying to get really deep odds, is Shea Patterson of Michigan.
I am trying to get deep odds.
Yeah, so he's at plus 3,000. This would be a pretty big upset. But Michigan's good. He has a lot of talent around him. He has three draftable NFL caliber wide receivers. They are changing their offense reportedly. They're gonna let their OC actually call the plays. And he's going to do the he's saying all the right words, RPOs, spread them out, run fast, everything. So
I will believe it when I see it with Michigan football.
Right. And that's kind of – I think that's why his odds are so long right now. But this is kind of the year for them to do it. They have all the talent at receiver, and Shea Patterson's senior year, this is kind of his make or break it year. And his advanced numbers total QBR, EPA, all that stuff were much better than what the general public gives him credit for, just because he's not throwing for a ridiculous amount of touchdowns. So if they start connecting, the offense changes, and then Michigan's in the college football playoffs, and you have a chance.
So I have two ones that I think are sort of interesting. The first is Derek King, the Houston quarterback. That would be like the Lamar Jackson thing, where he would have like 1,300 rushing yards, 4,300, like Case Keenum plus rushing, basically, is what Derek King is. If you guys don't know about him, he's like maybe the most fun player to watch in college football.
Definitely watch Houston football this year. I mean,
they're so great.
Everything is just, it's amazing. High tempo. They can run it. They throw it deep. Derek King's going to be the most productive player in college football if he stays healthy. He had a little bit of a knee issue last year, but I mean, electric offense, not so much defense. I mean, you're going to be looking at 50 to 50 games going into the fourth quarter with them. Just the biggest problem with him is a non-power five team, a quarterback from there winning the Heisman. It would have to be a truly special season, which
he'd have to have like 5,000 plus passing yards, 50 plus touchdowns. Like it would have to be, and they'd have to probably not make the college football playoff, but it would have to be like a UCF thing where everyone was like, oh, well, they should be in, you know?
Right. I think he would need that, and he would need Clemson to lose a game and Alabama to lose a game where no one's perfect. So I think it's a long shot. I'm avoiding it, but if you're playing college football DFS, or if you're trying to college fantasy football league, Derek King, or if you just want to watch good football, watch Houston this year. He's a special talent. Too bad. I was like ready to like give him like a day two grade, and then apparently he's only 5'8", which is like taking every experience like to a whole nother level. So
he's going to be like a wide receiver. That's what's going to happen with him. Someone's going to make him a wide receiver. It's happened to a bunch of guys. And then the one other guy who I thought was interesting, and the team probably won't be good enough, but would be Austin Kendall, the Oklahoma backup quarterback transfer went to West Virginia because Jalen Hurts came. I know just from reading everything about the team, it's just like they really liked him. And if Hurts wouldn't have came, he'd have the same Heisman odds as Hurts probably.
Yeah. So he West Virginia's got, I mean, they're losing a bunch of talent at receiver and stuff. So he would have to prove to be a truly special talent. I mean, if you're going to Oklahoma, I think you're checking boxes with that, but he's listed at plus 6,000 at the odds I'm looking at. That seems just about right. I mean, he would need a lot of things to fall in his way. But
all right, so as a very dedicated fantasy football player, I need you to talk to me about all these wide receivers. So we have, you know, we have Jerry Jeudy, we have CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Reagor, Tylan Wallace, Laviska Shenault, Rondale Moore. Just like these dudes are. I mean, they're. I think I've seen projections for as many as 5 wide receivers to go in the first round of the 2020 draft. So I need you to handicap that race for me.
Yeah. So I think 5 is the number this year for the receivers. It's truly a special class. Like you're not going to really see this many receivers that can be true wide receiver ones at the top. Jerry Jeudy, everyone knows about him. Decent speed. Just if we're looking way forward for combine 40-yard dash times, take his over. He's going to run slower than what everyone thinks, but he's still fast. But elite route runner, elite production. He's going to be – some people have him like as a top 5-ish pick. I think I'll end up sliding around like
– I think we are just past that era in the NFL now. Like top 5 picks are defensive ends, cornerbacks, and quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think that's why he'll be like around like pick 10-ish. But he's gonna be really good. Laviska Shenault, so if you're ready for some Pac-12 games at midnight on the East Coast, watch some Colorado. Laviska Shenault has like Julio Jones-esque talent, big, strong, fast. He's done basically all of his work underneath, and he's gonna be somebody that's gonna be PPR machine once we get to the NFL. Moving on, there's Jalen Reagor, who's from TCU. He's going to blow up the combine. Really, really strong production profile as well. So he's there. CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma looks incredible. elite athleticism, good production. Some people are comparing him to DeAndre Hopkins. He'll be a first round pick, I believe. T. Higgins from Clemson, kind of more of a raw talent, but really athletic. Showed up big last year, downfield threat. He'll be a day one guy. And then Henry Ruggs is going to run in the 4.3s from Alabama.
How big is he? Because I've seen his name, but I don't even really recall him playing. But I know those super fast guys from Alabama always end up getting drafted, like Robert Foster. Like those guys always end up getting drafted higher than you think.
Yeah, Henry Ruggs is 5'11", 192 is what I have listed at. He's reportedly been clocked running in the 4.2s by NFL scouts. Like, we're talking, like, really crazy athleticism. And he's – Alabama this year has four, NFL starting caliber wide receivers with Judy, Ruggs, Jalen Waddle, and then Devonta Smith. So, another reason why to bet Tua for Heisman, just incredible talent. But even the day two guys, there are like another eight players that could end up being NFL wide receiver ones or wide receiver twos. So another reason to watch college football this year.
Yeah. And, hashtag running backs don't matter, but they are going to end up mattering for fantasy. And there are some dudes who seem like they are, future 5-6 year starters in the NFL. DeAndre Swift from Georgia, Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, Travis Etienne from Clemson. And, every year with the Alabama running backs, everyone says, okay, no, now this guy is the one who's for real. So compare Najee Harris to Damian Harris and Josh Jacobs for me.
Yeah, so I'm concerned with Najee Harris. He doesn't seem like the athlete of the other Alabama running backs. I know Josh Jacobs and Damian Harris weren't crazy athletes either. I would be pretty surprised if Najee Harris was drafted higher than either one of those guys. I haven't projected as a day three pick. There's just a lot of concerns. He hasn't caught any passes. Some believe that could change, but I'm always betting against running backs that haven't proved that they can catch anything. I don't think he's going to end up being mentioned near the top of the running back class. I think he'll probably slide in towards day three.
Yeah, I think that probably makes sense to me. Do we have any Mike Gesicki, Noah Font, TJ Hawkinson level super spark tight ends?
There's a couple that I don't think are going to be as crazy. Oklahoma Grant Calcaterra, I don't have his numbers right in front of me, but he was like one of the highest spark tight ends when he was coming into college from his high school numbers. So he's a little bit undersized, but he's gonna go crazy at the combine. Wisconsin has a tight end. He's a redshirt sophomore. Jake Ferguson, he's kind of the breakout guy. I pegged him with a day two projection going into the season, but that's somebody that could actually climb into day one. He gets downfield, incredible athleticism. The top of the tight end class, it's Colby Parkinson from Stanford. Really tall. He was downfield, a downfield threat, yards after the catch, red zone. He could end up being a day one guy. Jared Pinkney out of Vanderbilt, he's kind of not going to blow you away with athleticism, but he's been super productive. And then last one is Missouri tight end Albert O.
Okay.
Albert Ogbonum or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's kind of – I have my concerns with him, but he's also really productive. I think he's going to end up being a top 50, top 75 pick. So that's your tight end class. It's pretty solid. There's going to be a lot of day two type guys. I don't think we're going to see a Hawkinson. I don't think we're going to see a Font, but that's all right.
All right. Well, let's start talking some wagers. I think there's nothing more fun than sweating out college football bets over the course of the year. What are some of your favorites before I start just pelting you with questions?
Okay. All right. So I listed five here that I'm really targeting. So I looked at just predicting year to year win totals and point differential, just like in the NFL and other sports. That was one of the highest correlated measures. And then I also looked at quarterbacks and when quarterbacks take their biggest leaps, and that's from your freshman year going into your sophomore year. So here's some of the teams that Click on both of those or one of the two. North Carolina, 4.5 win total. I'm taking the over there. They're one of the unluckiest teams in the country last year. They have a quarterback named Sam Howell. He's was a big time recruit. He chose to go to North Carolina to play early. I think he's going to be really strong in their new system. And then the ACC is wide open. So like North Carolina over, I like Texas Tech 6 wins. I like the over there. Cliff Kingsbury's gone, but they were really unlucky last year. They have a quarterback, Alan Bowman, who's a sophomore, and he was incredible last year. He didn't play the entire season, but when he was actually playing, Alan Bowman was, I would say, like a top 20-ish quarterback in college football as a freshman last year. So love that at 6 wins. UCLA, 5.5.
Who is Texas Tech's coach now? I don't even know.
To be honest, I think there's somebody. Oh, they got Utah State's coach who was pretty good. So yeah, it doesn't really matter. That offense is just.
Yeah, I mean, it's just whoever comes in there is just going to call four verts 40 times a game.
Yeah, it's basically just like whoever like Mike Leach has like some distant connection to is going to be.
Yeah, they're going to hire that guy, right? Just, like, yeah.
Rinse and repeat. UCLA, and this pains me to say it as a USC guy, 5.5 over. They were really unlucky last year. I think Chip Kelly is going to finally start turning that thing around. He's been recruiting for his system, and I think everyone's kind of underestimating him because his
does he have a quarterback now? I remember the quarterback situation. They were just like rotating, and it was horrible.
Correct. So this is one of those freshmen going into sophomore seasons. Dorian Thompson-Robinson played last year. It wasn't too pretty, but it wasn't truly terrible. I'm expecting a leap from him, and they have a day 3 running back, Joshua Kelly, who went off. He'll be one of the most productive running backs in the class. So I think they're looking good on the over at 5.5. And then going some unders, Nebraska, 8.5 going in the unders.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Oh, Nebraska's the worst. I hate Nebraska.
Yeah, this is just like everyone's ready to pick him to break out and everything. Just too much hype. Last year they were lucky on my point differential analysis. The defense is still bad. They lack pass catchers behind their slot receiver, JD Spielman, who's like a day 3 pick. But there's just too much hype going around them. I think it's a media bumping them up. It's probably smart to take the under. And then the same exact thing, Texas 9 wins. Give me the under.
Not a Sam Ehlinger believer.
I am to an extent, but he also has like lots of injury risk. They are losing a ton of production on their defense. Their defense could be really young. That's concerning. They obviously fill them in with blue chippers, but if I think Oklahoma's good, I think they can get upset with a couple of these other teams. I think Iowa State.
Yeah, Iowa State seems like they had a kid playing last year who was a true freshman who was like Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy was one of 2 freshmen since 2000 to average over 10 yards per attempt.
Yeah,
the other one being James Winston. So maybe that was Hakeem Butler doing that, but as we've kind of seen,
maybe not.
Brock Purdy being a legend. So that's another team to look out for. I actually have Iowa State projected over Texas. That's somewhat of a hot take, but yeah, I think Oklahoma's just top of the class there.
Yeah. Can I get Washington State updates? I just always want to know what's going on with them. What are they projected to do in 2019?
Yeah, they have 8 is their win total.
Fair.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty accurate. They're long shots to win the Pac-12. I love Mike Leach. That video of him in the pool was awesome the other day, if you haven't seen that. But they're recycling another quarterback, Gage Gubrud, who like really struggled actually these last couple of years. He played injured. I'm just not convinced that it's just like automatic. They're going to be Gardner Minshew of last year's Washington right. team. So yeah, I think they're going to be like a second tier Pac-12 team, but really fun to watch. Make sure to watch them.
So do you think that there is any value in betting Iowa State 8-1 to win the Big 12?
Yeah, I had them highlighted here as an option. Oklahoma, something bad would have to happen to Oklahoma. Like Jalen Hurts would have to really fall out. It's tough. There is a decent talent discrepancy there, but Brock Purdy is somebody I think we should be betting on. Like truly special freshman season. He's not getting hyped too much right now. They are losing David Montgomery and Hakeem Butler, but I think they have some talent. They just got a really strong four-star running back recruit. The defense is going to be one of the better in the Big 12. So, yeah, I think that's a team if you want looking for a little long shot. But, yeah, they're going to have to catch Oklahoma. But I think what's going to happen is when they play Texas this year, I'm going to be hammering Iowa State.
Do you like any of these Iowa State available at plus money to win the Big Ten? That feels a little odd.
Oh, hold on. Say that again.
I see Ohio State at plus 175 to win the Big Ten. That feels sort of long.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet. I like Michigan too, going back to Shea Patterson. But Justin Fields is going to, I think, come in here and just go crazy. Super talented. They have a lot of talent around them as always. So it's kind of wait and see until Michigan actually takes a leap over them. But it could be this year. We'll see.
Yeah. So do you have any, it would seem like the non Power Five markets for odds to win the conference seems like they would maybe be like a little softer, like the Conference USA champion. Like do you have a take? Am I going to take Marshall at 5-1?
I actually don't, but I think you're onto something. I don't like, I haven't spent too much time with.
Yeah, I don't think anyone spends too much time on these markets.
Yeah. The only thing is just from college fantasy football, like there's some quarterbacks like, Ohio has a really good senior quarterback. But yeah, I haven't spent too much time down in those streets, unfortunately.
Yeah. Like I'm just scrolling through on my sports book of choice right now and looking at all these and it just like, just from eyeballing them, it looks like all of these markets have like way more favorable odds that like the fourth favorite in the Mountain West is like way deeper than the fourth favorite in the Big Ten or whatever.
Yeah, and I think what happens there is no one really knows who these like freshmen and sophomores are because they're not like four-star talents.
Yeah.
And if you get one of these guys to kind of slip through the cracks and then all of a sudden they're like one of the best players in the group of five, then you can get one of these like second-tier group of five teams to creep right on up.
Yeah. All right. So before we get out of here, I want to talk a little bit of college fantasy football, like a little bit of DFS as well. Yeah. I want you to give the people some, and maybe not sleepers. That's not the right word for it, but just some guys to look out for kind of over the first few weeks of college fantasy football.
Yeah. So I think Arizona State has one of the best running backs in the country, Benjamin. He can end up being a day one pick. Super productive as a pass catcher and as a runner. And they just announced that they have a freshman quarterback, Jaden Daniels, who has been really good at camp. He was a big-time recruit, one of the Arizona State's best quarterback recruits. Dual threat, I think losing N'Keal Harry is not good, but they have like four or five receivers that they're confident with. This is kind of betting on this freshman quarterback and Benjamin to upset some teams in the Pac-12, but also with fantasy, they're going to be a good team to stack right there.
Okay. Yeah. What about, do you know some of these, like for example, they're the Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers, they were always like the best offense for fantasy football when they would get to be on a slate. And I mean, there is so much information out there now that like people do sort of like they catch up on stuff like that, but are there any teams like that are like running the air raid now? Like they transferred head coaches or anything like that?
Yeah. So East Carolina has a sophomore quarterback named Holton Ahlers, who's going to be one of the most productive quarterbacks in the country. He came in last year and was like, had a couple 100-yard rushing games, I believe, could throw it for like 400 yards. He's going to be insane. That's somebody if East Carolina hops on a DFS slate, he's going to be, I hope he goes overlooked to start the season. Oklahoma State has a bunch of talent, one of the best receivers, one of the best running backs. a young quarterback. He was the Texas High School Player of the Year, Spencer Sanders, who I hope wins the job. That would be a fun team to watch. Yeah. Going down. Let's see. I projected 690, pretty nice number there.
Wow.
College fantasy players, tons, like 250 running backs type of thing. Go look at that. There's tons.
That's just out there on RotoWorld.
That's just like in the streets. If you're,
you're giving the good stuff out for free, man.
I know. I did some college football DFS last year. I don't think that's going to happen this year, but I'll definitely be playing. So follow me on Twitter for some nuggets if I post a little something on Saturday morning.
All right, there we go, everyone. Hayden, tell everyone about what you have going on over at rotoworld.com right now.
Yeah, so going into the season, I'll have a weekly column. I'm not exactly sure what that's going to be, but I'm going to do that. And then once the NFL season is over, going to be back full-time the NFL draft. I have a ton more research. Going to be fine-tuning my analytics top 300 big board. Last year, been watching a lot of college film for these prospects. So NFL season for these next 6 months, and then the 3-4 months leading up to the NFL draft season, I'll have a bunch of NFL draft content.
All right, let's do official picks. Heisman, national champion. Let's go. Your Heisman is who?
I'm going to pick Trevor Lawrence. If I was going to bet one, it'd be Tua. I'm not copping out right there. And then give me Clemson to
win it all.
Yeah, Clemson to win it all.
I'm going to go Tua, Heisman, Clemson to win it all. But I really hope that this is the year that Alabama or Clemson suffers a quarterback injury and Oklahoma wins. That would be fantastic. So that is what my official – I don't want anyone to get hurt. So I hope that Tua just, like, sprains his toe or something and he's fine for the draft and he gets – fully financially compensated, and his future is in no way injustice, but Nick Saban ends up crying. So that is going to do it for us here at the TakeCast, and we will be back next week.